Joining us on the show now is Mr. John LaRosa. He has an MBA and has been in the field of market research and consulting for over 38 years and has researched and authored over 500 industry and market studies via his own company, Market Data, which can be found online at marketdataenterprises.com. He has investigated a wide variety of service industries with a specialty in weight loss and self-improvement markets. And like most of us, John hates to see people get scammed and lose their hard-earned money. Now, Mr. LaRosa has authored a book entitled Scam Nation, Fighting the $257 Billion Epidemic of American Consumer Frauds and Cons. Mr. LaRosa, how are you doing today, sir?
Very good.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the book? Like, why did you decide to write Scam Nation?
Well, over a couple of decades of being in the market research field, I have looked at a lot of different industries, and some of these industries, their practices are less than scrupulous, one could say, and I've come across a lot of them. The work I do is kind of like being an investigative journalist with a focus on business. So in the course of my research in areas like weight loss programs, weight loss products, rent-to-own stores, payday loan services, car title services, collection agencies, all of these are industries that we publish reports about. And sometimes the operators in these industries don't have the best interest of the consumer in mind. So especially since the Ponzi scheme by Bernie Madoff was exposed in the financial crisis that we had in 2008-2009, I noticed that the number of scams and frauds seemed to be increasing in number. And one thing I saw in the news really caught my attention. You know, after Bernie Madoff was exposed with the biggest Ponzi scheme in history, I was surprised to find out that after that, there were 600 other Ponzi schemes uncovered in the U.S. And that just boggles the mind. So I decided to look into it further and use the research that we've compiled over the last 10 or 20 years and put it into a book to bring this problem to the attention of the public and to help them avoid some of the major scams and frauds that exist.
Hey, John, I got a follow-up question. Once you decided to write this book, approximately how much time did you spend on gathering together the research that you had, as well as conducting additional research and actually writing and completing the book? How long did that process take you?
The process took about 8 months, but it's not 8 months of full-time work on the book. Of course, to pay the bills and make a living, I still write reports about different industries, so this was kind of a part-time project, but the total amount of time to put it together was probably about 8 months.
What's the driving force behind spending 8 months of your life to write a book like Scam Nation?
Well, as I said, a lot of the research had been done already in the industries that we've analyzed and published reports about, and I just am a fan of TV shows like American Greed on CNBC, and I'm just fascinated with some of these frauds and scams that people pull off either successfully or unsuccessfully, and how they get caught by the FBI and the authorities. And it just seemed to me that the number of these scams was increasing, and I wanted to get to the root of the problem and find out why it was increasing. And we did for the book put a theory forward, my own theory about why this is happening. And my own feeling is that the poor job growth since the Great Recession, coupled with the greater use of the internet and the fact that many government agencies like the FBI, the Federal Trade Commission, and other agencies, the IRS and other agencies, are woefully understaffed. So, you know, in my own area in Tampa, Florida, there was a big story about the filing of bogus tax returns and people stealing other people's identities and Social Security numbers and filing tax returns to get refunds in their name rather than the person that was due the refund. So I believe that there are a couple of factors that contributed to the explosion of scams and frauds in the country, not the least of which is the expansion of the internet, which makes it easier for these con artists to perpetrate their crimes.
So, John, was the purpose of the book more to explain a sort of a historical view of different types of scams, to inform the public about all the different types of scams that you're aware of, or was it more focused on, in addition to that, how you as a consumer might be able to protect yourself, what to look out for, and how to protect yourself? Because one could say there has been a deficiency perhaps on the part of law enforcement of being able to track these people down, prosecute them, but that's usually after they've committed the scam versus how does the consumer protect him or herself to not become victimized?
Yes, exactly. It looks at the 20, we identified 26 of the largest dollar value scams in the country. And I think this is the first time anyone has done that. You know, that there have been articles about identity theft and filing bogus tax returns and all kinds of scams out there, Ponzi schemes, et cetera. But no one has really added up all of the major scams and come up with a total dollar value as to what consumers in America are losing per year. So, yes, it's exactly that. It's a historical look at what the scams are, how they work, and the dollar amount of the scams and how consumers can protect themselves. Because, believe it or not, you know, that there's the Nigerian email scams where they say that someone is in contact with a member of the military or the government and they found a secret bank account with $50 million in it and they just need to have an overseas bona fide checking account to park it in and you'll get a commission for doing that. You know, it sounds ridiculous and I don't know how anybody still believes that, but there are still people that fall for scams like that because they are uninformed or whatever reason.
Now, out of the 26 scams that you guys said you covered in the books, which do you feel was the most gut-wrenching or the worst scam that you had to cover out of all the ones you did all the research on?
Oh, gee, that's a tough question. I would say probably the one with phony psychics or fortune tellers. You know, that's still a scam that's out there, and people that are vulnerable time in their life, you know, they may want to get advice from someone or where to invest their money. That and also the dating services where some of these dating online websites have databases with a lot of fake profiles in them. They're called romance scams. So I would say, you know, those are two that stand out as being very bad in terms of preying on people's vulnerabilities.
Now, in your book, was as far as the psychic scams go, you guys kind of went into a little bit with a whole Miss Cleo thing, which I really appreciated. Can you give us a little recap on that and how all that went down?
Well, the Miss Cleo scam was one on late night TV in the 1990s, where the commercials were pretty impossible to miss, where she would say, "Call me now for your free reading." And she was a woman, a black woman with a Jamaican accent. and her fortune telling tarot cards were spread out on the table in front of her, and she claimed that the cards can reveal things that you will never see by yourself. In the ads, Miss Cleo could be seen answering questions for grateful callers to the Psychic Readers Network hotline. And that 800 number for free readings was splashed across the bottom of the screen as Miss Cleo identified the father of a caller's child or told another whether her boyfriend was cheating on her. Millions of people did call that hotline, whether for a little entertainment or because they really believed Miss Cleo might have the answers. And some of the readings were hardly free. Callers would find themselves paying as much as $300 per call.
It was based more on the amount of time of the call, correct? How long the call duration of it?
Right, right. And that was there was a fee per minute. So, you know, if she was able to suck you in with some persuasive findings or predictions, you know, you would be likely to stay on the call longer and rack up more charges. The Federal Trade Commission shut down that operation in 2002 after suing the owners for multiple counts of unfair trading practices. And without admitting guilt, the owners agreed to forgive $500 million in phone charges and pay a $5 million penalty to the FTC.
Wow, this is huge. If they forgave $500 million, can you imagine? So I noticed, and still then, there are in different magazines, you will see little advertisements for psychic readings and for you to call in. And I think there's even on TV from time to time, there may be individuals that are kind of advertising the same thing. And then you have these other TV shows off and on that will show how a particular murder or crime was solved with the use of a psychic reader that kind of probably in the consumer's mind leads like, wow, this stuff really can work.
Mm-hmm. And women seem to be more vulnerable to these psychic readings and gurus than men. For instance, from the according to the American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums, in 2012, 575,000 women in the U.S. spent more than $1,000 for a psychic reading, and 95,000 men, a lot less, spent that same amount. Then you had another 375,000 women that spent more than $5,000 for a psychic reading, and only 5,000 men. And at the highest level, you had 275,000 women paying more than $10,000 for a psychic reading, but only 300 men spent that amount.
Wow, that is mind-boggling. And Andy and I are going to go back home and look at our credit card statements to make sure that our wives are not doing this. But that's really, I mean, shows the magnitude of what this can do as far as milking people out of their money. Such an easy thing to do if people get sucked into it.
Absolutely.
Now, was there anything that got left out of the final draft of your book? Was there anything that just the editors wouldn't approve or you just couldn't get to print?
No, not really. I picked the 26 top scams that stuck out in terms of the number of people being scammed and the dollar value. I can list some of them. Medicare and Medicaid fraud, of course, was the biggest one at $80 to $160 billion in losses per year. Counterfeit prescription drugs, income tax fraud, ID theft, fake designer clothing, the rent-to-own stores industry, the payday loan services industry, debt elimination services and credit repair, Ponzi schemes, multi-level marketing contractors, food stamp fraud, weight loss supplements, cell phone and landline cramming, home improvement, debt collection agencies with bogus debts, computer tech support scams, ATM skimmers, phony charities, Nigerian email scams, dating services, cash for gold buyers, counterfeit U.S. currency, and work-at-home scams. So all of that comes to an estimated $257 to $337 billion. The reason why the range is so wide is because the range of Medicare and Medicaid fraud is $80 to $160 billion. The government doesn't know exactly, but it's somewhere in that range. So, and all of the numbers that we compiled are conservative. It could be, it could very well be higher than this, but we have a definite way to corroborate at least $257 billion in losses.
Well, that's very substantial. The extent of the types of scams basically is only limited by the creativity of the scammers. But a common element in all of these is going to be based on why do they work? What are the vulnerabilities that they prey upon in the different individuals? If you were to pick out two or three specific types of things that individuals in general can be on the lookout for or learn how to best protect themselves from any of these type of scams, what would be your advice based on your findings in writing the book?
Well, I would say use your common sense. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I would look for things that, of course, one should always guard things like their Social Security number, their Medicare number, their personal information. You know, with all the data breaches that are going on, even with the large credit bureaus, it becomes really important to guard your personal information, shred sensitive information that you're throwing out in the garbage, and don't fall for a lot of these offers that come over the internet or by phone. If the IRS is claiming that you owe them money, they're not going to call you over the phone. They're going to send you a letter in the mail, for example. And, you know, just have your radar up in terms of what sounds too good to be true.
I think we typically talk about here on the show is if someone approaches you, the important thing is to always verify. If you're approaching somebody else, you're going to the legitimate site, going to a legitimate authority to acquire information, that's one thing. But if someone, all of a sudden you receive that phone call or that email, you need to verify, is it in fact coming from the person or the entity that it purports to represent?
Yeah, also people should not rush into judgment. You know, a lot of these scam artists will say the offer is only good for today or the next 24 hours. Take the time to do your own research, get a second opinion, just as if you were going to a dentist or a doctor and you wanted to get a second opinion on something. If somebody's asking you to invest a significant amount of money into a new money-making opportunity or company or venture, take the time to research it. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Check with the Attorney General's office. Do some research on your own. Ask friends and people more knowledgeable than you whether this company is legitimate or not.
All right. John, what's next for you? Are you going to do an update of this book in time? Are you going to come out with other articles or books regarding this theme?
Well, I think for now, I spent a lot of time doing this book and getting it into a format for an ebook and a print book for Amazon. And it does take a lot of work to put a book like this together. So we don't plan any updates in the near future, but I am planning to do a new book on the diet industry or weight loss programs, because that's one of my specialties for the last 25 years. And I know a lot about all of the commercial and medical weight loss programs and celebrity diet plans and books and so forth. And so I'm planning to do a book on the entrepreneurs and people who built the weight loss industry in America and their backgrounds and how they got started and how they built these large companies like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and SlimFast. I think that that would be a fascinating read for most people, since most people are trying to lose weight and use these programs on an ongoing basis.
You know, the first thing that came to my mind is that that's a book I'd really like to sink my teeth into. But since we don't do bad puns on this show, I'm not going to say that. But folks, if you want to check out Scam Nation, Fighting the $257 Billion Epidemic of American Consumer Frauds and Cons, you can find both the Kindle version and the printed version over on Amazon.com. Just search for John LaRosa. That is John, L-A-R-O-S-A, John LaRosa. Or you can head over to metascam.com/scamnation. That'll take you over there as well. I personally have the Kindle version. And hey, if you're also interested in any of the industry studies published by Market Data, head on over to Market Data Enterprise and check those out. That's going to be the specialties on weight loss and self-improvement and a lot of other things that Mr. LaRosa talked about today.
Mr. LaRosa, on behalf of Andy and myself, we'd really like to thank you for sharing your time with us today and putting your best efforts into publishing a book, Scam Nation, Fighting the $257 Billion Epidemic of American Consumer Frauds and Cons.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And right before you head out, Mr. LaRosa, is there any way that people can contact you directly if they have any questions from today?
Yes. They can reach me through email at marketdataenterprises.com, or they can call our offices in Tampa at 813-971-8080. You can reach me by email at john@marketdataenterprises.com. And we also sell the book on our website as well as Amazon.
Perfect. And again, thanks for joining us today on Metascam.
Thank you.